As you think of putting in crops, you're very concerned about the condition of the soil. I can remember once being in Arkansas, northwest Arkansas, staying with a chicken farmer. I was having some meetings there, and he showed me his fields, and there were these Ozark Hills, very rocky soil, lots of rocks, and the soil really looked very poor. But he said, you know what I have to do? I work with the soil, I plow it up, I work it up, and then he says, I put a lot of chicken manure on it, fertilize it well, and he says, amazing, the crops you can grow if you work the soil and you prepare it right. We're going to look at some soils this morning. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to be reading here, beginning with verse 1. Matthew 13 and verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and went sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. He received the word on stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. We're going to stop with the reading there for the time being, and we're going to look at this first parable. We call these kingdom parables. These are parables illustrating truth about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Incidentally, those two terms, Kingdom of Heaven and Kingdom of God, are used interchangeably. And the first one we're looking at is the parable of the four soils. And when we think of the soil, really what Jesus is talking about, of course, is the heart of man. What kind of a person are you? How are you going to respond to the Word of God? Are you going to listen, and are you going to take it in? Are you going to obey? Or are you going to become hard and indifferent? So when you think of these different kinds of soil, now Jesus is talking about four different kinds of hearts. people and their responses to the Word of God. And he uses as an illustration here four kinds of soil. Now, we don't live in a farming situation, most of us live in the city. Some never plant anything, so this figure isn't as familiar, but if you're a farmer, you know that the soil and the preparation of the soil are very, very important. And here he's using it as a picture of what happens. He says a man goes out and he's planting. Now, it uses the word sower. You speak of sowing grain. There's a different word, you know, S-E-W, that speaks of sowing clothing or garments, something like this. But here he's talking about planting grain. The man would take a bag of grain in his put it around his waist. He would reach his hand into the bag, gather a handful of grain, and he would scatter it. We speak of this as broadcasting. They didn't have machinery. They did it all by hand. He'd reach in, he'd pick out another handful of grain, and he would scatter it through his fingers, sowing it, planting it. So this is the way he went through his field. He was just reaching in his bag. He would gather his grain. He would throw it through his fingers and scatter it. Now, Jesus says, in that field, there were four kinds of soil. There was a path going through it. People walked through the field. The path was hard. It was packed. And he said, as he tells the parable, immediately, the seed couldn't get in. Seed has to get into the soil in order to germinate, in order to grow. It can't just lie on top. And so the birds came along behind the man who was planting, and they picked up the grain off the path. It was there. It was visible. And they ate it. He came to a place where there was a layer of rock, and the soil was thin, just thin soil on top of it. And some of the seed fell on it. But Jesus said, well, on that soil, it sprang up. But the soil was too shallow. It couldn't really root. And so when it got hot and dry, the plants withered. They didn't last. Then he says there was a section of the field where he went, and it was a place where there were a lot of weeds. Weed seed. He throws some of the seed in there, and it germinates and it grows up, but the weeds came up and choked it out. And then there was good soil, he says, soil that when he threw the grain into it, it germinated, it grew, it produced a good crop. So he says four different kinds of soils. Now, in the parable then, the soil indicates the heart of men. What kind of heart do you have? The sower was the evangelist. In other words, the person who was giving out the word of God. And each of us can do that. You may say, well, I'm not a preacher. If you give out a gospel tract, if you talk to someone about your faith, you are sowing the seed. I talked to a man last night, and he said his mother was over. He's become a Christian. She isn't. But he was talking to her about the Lord. He's concerned for his mother. And what he was doing, he was acting here like the sower, the man who's planting. He was planting seed in that woman's heart. And the seed is the word of God, the message of God, the gospel. So each of us, now we don't want to think of this as applying only to Jesus or only to the apostles or only to, we'll say, missionaries. Each of us can be a sower. Each of us can be planting the word. And the Lord here says, when you plant it, you're going to get different responses. And he wanted to prepare the disciples for this. You don't want to get discouraged. The farmer didn't quit planting simply because some of the seed didn't grow, didn't germinate. He kept on planting because there was good soil. And he was looking for the harvest from the good soil. The first was the path. And in the interpretation, the Lord here gives the interpretation beginning with verse 19. Someone hears the word of the kingdom, doesn't really understand it, isn't open to the message, is hard. You know, the path was hardened simply by the traffic of life. And some people's hearts are just kind of hardened by life. They're hard. The word can't get to them. They don't understand it. They don't want to understand it. They reject it. You can give tracts to those people. You can talk to those people. And they're hard. They're not going to accept. They're not going to believe. And that's sad. I remember talking to a man one time who was very hard. He had a real drinking problem. He was an abusive husband and father. Just a hard man. He said to me, look, he says, nobody can change me if I don't want to change. He says, I'm tough. I'm hard. And he was right. He's dead now. Went to his funeral. He didn't change. He was just like a hard path. He says, you can preach. You can give me the word. You're not going to scare me about facing God or anything else. I'm tough. I'm hard. The word could not penetrate. Now, that kind of person, you know, it hurts you. It's sad. Now, let me point this out. Soil can be changed. You don't want to think that this, when he speaks of this, he means now the soil is going to be like this forever. That farmer could go in there, and in those days they would plow with oxen. He could have plowed up the path. He could have broken it up and said, hey, don't walk through this field anymore. Walk around it, and we're just going to break this path up. He could have broken the soil up, and it could have become receptive then to the word. You know, when we started the garden in our backyard, some of it wasn't very good ground. Some of it they never had a garden in before, and the soil wasn't very good. Some of it was too heavy. It was too full of clay, and it needed to be broken up. It needed to have compost put into it. It needed to be fertilized. It needed to be worked and worked so that the character of the soil can change. And sometimes these who've been very hard at one time get plowed up. Now, it may be the circumstances of life. Sometimes people in jail or prison, because of the circumstances of life, they're broken up and they say, I need to think about God. I need to be open to what God's trying to tell me. And it may be circumstances that plow up your heart, that break you up, that make you receptive, that cause you to realize I need to listen to what God is telling me. And various things can be used. Sometimes a person is broken up simply by hearing the word of God, and it begins to penetrate, and he begins to realize I need to be saved, and if I don't, I'll be in hell forever. And the word of God begins to get to him. And there's this preaching of repentance, which is like plowing. The person who says repent is saying you need to change. You're a sinner, you're going the wrong way, and you need to think about facing God. John the Baptizer, remember? He came and he preached repent. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. And his message was a strong message, and it was a plowing message. He was getting people ready to receive the Lord Jesus. So that sometimes when we're working with people, we have to do some plowing. And we have to use the word of God, and we have to talk to them. We have to point out to them God's trying to get your attention by things that are happening in your life. So the soil can be changed. And the path, if it's going to bear fruit, if it's going to bear a harvest, it's got to be plowed. It'll never bear a harvest as long as it's hard. And people that are hard sometimes have to go through difficult circumstances. They have to have their hearts broken, so they'll be willing to listen. Now, the rocky soil was shallow, and there was just a lot of rock under there. Shallow soil. And some people are kind of shallow. Now, here he says they hear the word, and there's a quick response, and they say, yeah, I think I'd like to be a Christian. Sounds great. I'm going to accept Jesus. But if there hasn't been a real plowing before, if there hasn't been repentance, It can be very shallow. And you see people like that, and they'll say, yeah, I'm going to accept the Lord, and so forth. And then after a while, you find out that they've just gone back to their old ways. They haven't changed. Whatever their problems are, if they're drinkers, if they're drug users, if they're just cold, indifferent sinners, whatever it is, it hasn't lasted. They made just a temporary, shallow profession. And we have a lot of that today in this country. And I think part of the reason, too, is sometimes the gospel is preached in such a way that there's no plowing first. There's no preaching of repentance. There's no preaching of the law of God. There's no preaching of judgment. You remember when Paul was speaking to Felix, he reasoned of judgment. And it says, Felix trembled. Now, that was a message that was plowing, really, the soil. So that these people, a shallow profession, a quick profession, but there's been no real turning from sin, there's been no real desire to change. And so they don't bear fruit. The seed does not really produce a harvest. Then there's the weedy soil. And I call this competing interests. And the Lord says there are different things that can keep you from really carrying through with this, so that the seed becomes fruitful in your life. And he says that the cares of this world, the anxieties, the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. He becomes unfruitful. So that the word here can't really grow and produce, because the person says, well, I've got too much else going on. I've heard people say to me, you know, I really can't come to Bible study. I really can't, you know, I know maybe when I get older and I'm retired and I have some time, but right now, I've got a family. I've got to think of my children. I'm working two jobs, and I'm sorry, I just don't have time. Anxiety is this world. I've got to prepare for the future. I've got to save for my college education of my children. And then there's my old age. I need a good retirement account. And I don't have time. I really just don't have time to pay attention to spiritual things. Don't have time for Bible study. I've got too much else going on. And it's too bad, but the Lord says these things happen. I want to turn over and read a few verses in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. Luke 14, where people are invited to a great feast, a great supper. A wealthy man, he invites people, come, I've got this tremendous banquet we're going to have. You're invited. You're invited to come. Sends his servant out in verse 17 at supper time to say to those who are invited, come. All things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I married a wife. Therefore I cannot come. Excuses. Now, if a man bought a piece of ground, he should have looked at it first. It was a poor excuse. If you're going to buy real estate, I hope you don't buy it without looking at it. He says, I bought some, now I need to go look at it. Well, that was a poor excuse. But see, it was material things. He says, material things are more important than being at your feast, being at your banquet. And another one says, well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to go test them out. Well, he should have looked at them first once again. A poor excuse. But it shows their sense of values, really. What they're saying is, it's more important to me, my ground, my oxen, my marriage. Earthly things are more important than the banquet. And people make excuses still. They'll say, well, you know I should think about these things, and I should go to church, and I should read the Bible. I don't have time now. Maybe in the future, later on, but not now. I don't have time. And these, all these competing things choke out the word, so the word can't really accomplish anything. And sometimes it can be anxieties, and sometimes he points out the deceitfulness of riches. The rich person may think, I don't need that. I don't need God now. I have a good income, I have my home, I have all that I need. I don't need God. Why should I go to church? Why should I pray? Why should I read the Bible? I'm doing fine without God. I don't need God. And it chokes out, that attitude of independence chokes out the Word of God. Once again, the way you get rid of weeds is you pull them out, you go in, you plow it up, you turn the weeds under, you just break them up. And people like that need to realize, they need to hear the Word of God, they need to realize you need to repent. There's a heaven, there's a hell, there's judgment, and you need to get ready to face God. The Lord told the story of the rich man, you remember, who looked out at his fields. He said, what a tremendous crop. Look at those fields. He said, I'm going to have to tear down my old granaries and I'm going to have to put up a new storage facility. And then when I've got my crop taken in, we've gotten this tremendous harvest taken in, then I'll be able to say, now you've got it made, you have security, eat, drink, and be merry, enjoy life. And the Lord said, God looked down from heaven and said, you're foolish, tonight you're going to die. Going to die tonight. You've been living for material things. Your security has been in those. You haven't been thinking of God. You haven't been living for God. And you're going to die tonight. You've been a fool. So here he emphasizes these things can choke out the Word of God. And I tell you, it grieves me sometimes to talk to people and deal with people and they'll simply say, I'm too busy. I have this to do. I have that to do. I have to work in my yard today. All of the things that you know aren't going to last. And they're neglecting spiritual values. So that he emphasizes the folly of this. Now, the good soil is, of course, plowed. It's worked. And it's soil that is a good. He speaks of it, their hearts as being good and honest hearts, sincere. These are people who are sincere, who are real, who want to know God, who want to know their sins are forgiven, who put spiritual values first, and who really have a heart for God. And these people then are the ones who are productive. The Word of God, the message falls into their hearts and they produce fruit. Now you might ask, well, what is that fruit? What is this harvest? Well, there's the fruit of the Spirit and that's character. These people are people who are going to be changing and becoming more like the Lord Jesus. They're going to be more and more patient and loving and kind and concerned for others. And they're people whose character is going to be changed to become more like the Savior. That's fruit. And then there are people, too, who will have fruit in their contacts with others. They'll be witnessing. They'll be concerned for others. They'll be reaching out to others. They'll be touching others. And they'll be a blessing to other people. And there'll be fruit because of their contacts with others. So that's the fourth kind of soil. And the Lord Jesus here emphasizes that this is good soil. And the word is heard. The word is understood. The word is received. And the word is obeyed. And there is fruit in the life. Now, this section in between here, verses 10 through 17, he talks about the purpose of the parables. And he says, if people aren't really interested in spiritual things, they won't understand. They could care less. They'll be indifferent. For those who have a seeking heart, who are open, who are genuine, they'll understand the spiritual significance. So it's veiled truth that is understood by the seeking heart. And he emphasizes that. And he says to them, you know, you're so blessed. You're so blessed, he said. You know, people in time past, the prophets, the righteous, have longed to see what you see, have longed to hear what you hear. You are so blessed. They prophesied, they predicted I would come, that the Messiah, the Savior, would come. Here I am. And you are so blessed. That's true of us today. We are so blessed. The Savior has come. We have the full revelation of God's Word. We are indeed blessed. But he emphasizes here that those who don't have a heart for spiritual things, he says, therefore I speak to them in parables, verse 13, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And so as they hear these things, they'll be indifferent, they won't understand, aren't receptive, they aren't open, and they'll continue to be hardened and indifferent to the things of God. Now, the next parable, we're going to start with verse 24. He gives another parable. The first has to do with four soils. The second one has to do with two sowers. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no. That's why you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares in the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares were gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Parable of the two sowers. There isn't only the activity of the Lord in the world. The Lord is active. Here's this man who goes out, and it says he sowed good seed in his field. And the seed, he goes on to explain, from the first parable, of course, was the Word of God. But the Word of God gives spiritual life. It sprouts in the hearts of individuals, so that he goes on to speak then of these people as the children of the kingdom, the sons of the kingdom. When he's through planting, though, while people are asleep, they're not aware of what's going on. He has an enemy who comes in, and he deliberately takes weed seed, darnel seed, it's described here as tares, and he scatters weed seed through the field. And the purpose is, of course, to disturb and distract from the work of the Son of Man, the one who sowed the good seed in the field. to create problems. Now, as the Lord tells the parable, he says, well, servants came to him and said, hey, we realize that something's been going on here. Apparently, these tares are growing up here amongst us. What should we do? Well, he says, an enemy's done this. It's obvious. I didn't plant those weed seeds, the tares. He says, but let it go. Let the two grow together until harvest. And then he says, there'll be the time of separation. We're not going to separate them now. Let them both grow until harvest. Now, when he gives the interpretation, in this case, the Son of Man is the one who plants good seed. In other words, Jesus says, I'm the one who's behind this whole planting operation. My servants go out under my supervision, but I'm the one who is responsible. He says, the field is the world. So this is going on in the world around us. He says, the seed, the good seed now, are believers. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. So here the word of God grows, it produces life, it produces believers. And he says, the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The devil has been planting in the field these tares that are really children of the wicked one. They're not those who are followers of the Lord. And the interesting thing is, at the beginning, as the seeds are growing up, it's very hard to tell the difference between the weed and the genuine, the good seed. So that the tares here, I think, would picture false profession. What the devil's very active doing is planting throughout the world various religions and various teachers who are producing false profession. So that today, many people you'll talk to, they'll say, yes, I'm a Christian. And yet as you get to talk to them and as you look at their life, you realize they don't know the Lord at all. And it has produced weakness, it's produced confusion. And that, of course, is what the devil wants. He wants confusion. Get the issue confused. So today people will say, well, I don't want to be a Christian. I know what Christians are like. I had some business dealings with one, and he cheated me. He was dishonest. He lied to me, and he goes to the first church. Member of the first church. I don't want to be one. And it's a false professor. It's one of these tares, one of these sons, really, of the evil one. So Satan plants false profession. And I want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Because here, Paul points this out. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13, Paul says, such are false apostles. These preachers, he says, are false apostles. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. No wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So the devil has his ministers. The devil has false apostles. The devil has those who are saying they're Christians and saying they're interested in spiritual things, who are really furthering the devil's ends. So the Lord gives warning here that this is what you're going to see. Now, he says that's going to continue. It'll continue until the judgment. Don't expect there to be a clearing out of this. Now, one thing that does help is when there's persecution. That gets rid of a lot of false profession oftentimes. That's why during the first centuries, the first 3 centuries, when Christianity was not a legal religion, you didn't have a lot of false profession. It was when it became legalized. Then people began saying, you know, joining church and being baptized and all the rest without really knowing the Lord. So that persecution has a way of kind of burning through the field and burning out the false. But Jesus said, here, let them grow. Let them grow together. And he says, the judgment is coming. He says, the Son of Man will send out his angels. They will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into a furnace of fire. Very strong language about judgment. And Jesus said, just like in a wheat field, they may go through and pull the weeds out. They don't want them mixed with the wheat. And they gather them together and they burn them. Make a bonfire and just burn them up, because they're not interested in having weeds around, weed seed. So he describes here the judgment and the punishment that will come upon the unbeliever. And it's very strong. He says, they will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So even though we don't like to think about it, we don't like to think about hell, we don't like to think about judgment, Jesus was very strong. He was very clear. There was no vacillating. He says, listen, if you are not saved, if you're not right with God, you may have a profession. You may say, I belong to church. You may say, I give to the church and so forth. But unless you know the Lord, you're going to be cast into the furnace of fire. And then he speaks of the righteous and the blessing that they will know forever in the kingdom of their Father. Four soils. You know, we need to ask ourselves the question, what kind of heart do I have? Is my heart good soil? Is my heart productive? Is my character as a Christian growing? Is my life being productive with others? Am I touching the lives of other people and helping them spiritually? Am I being a blessing in this world? That's bearing fruit. And he speaks of the two sowers. And we have to, as we look out in the world, you have to be realistic. And you have to say, well, the devil is very busy. Just last night, someone was talking about all the denominations and all the religions. And he said he heard a preacher say that, hey, those are all good because people like different things. And I pointed out to him, well, actually, you know, for the first 3 centuries of the church, there were no denominations. And longer than that, actually, there wasn't this multiplication of denominations and different ways of thinking and so forth. The Lord's desire is that his people be one. That's what he prayed in John 17. So you have to say, people say to me, where did they all come from? The devil's been busy working for 2,000 years. He's been very busy. And here the Lord says, you have to realize that along with the Lord's working in this world, the devil's very busy working. He's got his religions. He's got his confusion all around you. And you have to ask your own heart, am I one of the sons of the kingdom? Have I been really born again? Do I belong to the Lord? Am I real? Because the time of judgment is coming. And there's a strong word of warning here. If you're not real, the judgment is coming, and there is going to be that eternal punishment of the sinner. It's wonderful to know the Lord and to realize that He's working in the world, He's active, and that our lives can be productive for Him.